I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Mm.
Honestly, I don't know how people go without it. I just don't. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, good to have Otis and Marjorie back. They went on a big vacation. They want a cruise. That's what they want. They want a cruise. Good to have them back. I texted them. I said, it's good to have you back in town, you know. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Say, Father, we just thank you for this book. And we ask that it will touch our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, we know Moses died, and in the process of time, God was raising up another man to take his place, and we know that man as Joshua. God had raised him up, and God had chose the man Joshua to be the leader of Israel, his people. It's ironic. As Moses was dying, if God would have come to the people and said, choose somebody to be your leader, who you think they would have chose? We don't know. That's just ironic today. Many churches go out and they go scope out preachers to get them to come to their church. Honestly, I know we don't know a lot about this, but I know some because I speak with people. What they do is they go and they steal pastors. They go, they need a pastor, they go and they look and they try to get him and entice him or her to come to their church and be the pastor of their church. Now, can you think, what would you think if God would have said, people, you choose who's to be your leader, next leader? But we have to remember this. God chooses the leader. And God chose Joshua to take the place of Moses. God chooses the leader for each church. And the Spirit of the Lord has to go and get that leader, whoever it may be, and bring him in to do a mighty work. And sometimes we may look and we may say, well, that's not the right one. But when God chooses a leader, he knows who to choose and who to get. And God chose Joshua. And God said, Joshua, look at verse 5. And I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it says this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now God spoke this to Joshua. Joshua, yes, he was with Moses. He learned a lot from Moses. He was right next to him. He saw many miracles. He saw the things that happened. But when you're standing next to somebody and they're leading and you're kind of behind them, well, that's an okay place. But when that leader that you're behind is out and God puts you next and everything falls upon your shoulders, your knees start to buckle and you start to shake because you're realizing that everything is relying upon you as the leader to lead the people to the promised land. And God saw that his heart was kind of shaking there. He may have been losing a little faith in God. And God comes to him and speaks to him a word. And we read it. And this is what it says. It says, and there shall not any man be able to stand before you All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. We can get a hold of that word and we can realize that as God was with Moses, as God was with Joshua, that God will be with us. And we can take this word and we can rely upon it that He will not fail us and He will not forsake us. My God, that puts a boldness on the inside of us. Not a pride issue, but a boldness to stand up and say, my God, your God is with you. That you and I don't have to go through the storms of life, the battles of life by ourselves. That God is with us. And He says this to Joshua, I will not fail you. Look, that's some great words. But also He seals it up and He says also, Joshua, I will not forsake you. I will not forsake you. My God puts a boldness on the inside of him to stand up and to do the things that God had called him to do. In Joshua chapter 5, if you would turn there, Joshua 5, look at verse 15. As God was working in Joshua and speaking words to him. How many times has the Spirit of the Lord spoken some words to you? You don't tell anybody, but it's in here. It's in your heart. And things may be falling apart on the outside, left and right. But God spoke something to you on the inside. And your faith is in your God and not on the circumstances. Your faith is in your God and not in the circumstances. And God said this to Joshua in verse 15. And the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, loose your shoes from off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, we know Moses had that same incident, huh? It's ironic that he does that to Joshua too. We know Moses with the burning bush, but here as God the host came unto Joshua, that he spoke to Joshua and he said, Joshua, take off your shoes. And the comment on that, and I thought that was so ironic, was that when in the Old Testament, our old Jewish law, when someone would buy something, buy a piece of land or anything like that, the man that owned the land, when it was bought, would take off his shoes and give it to the man that bought it, signifying that all ownership of the man that took off the shoes is gone. He owns it no more. And it's all been given to the man that bought it. When God spoke to Joshua and said, take off your loose your shoes and give them to me, it means that all of Joshua's self-will, self-power, self, everything he had, everything he possessed, he took off his shoes. And he gave it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord's host. And the Lord took it, signifying that now, Joshua, I am your King. I am your Lord. I am your Savior. And from this day forward, I will not fail you, and I sure will never forsake you. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That will take an interest in every part of our hearts, every part of our lives. When we see it seems like everything's falling apart, that God comes in and says, no, it's not. I'm in control. I'm in control. When things may not look right, God comes in and says, I've taken control of that situation. And you say, thank you, Lord. And you leave it into His hands as you take the problem of that shoe. The problem representing the shoe you take off and you give it to God and you let Him handle it and you let Him take care of that situation because He wants to. He wants to. It says, when God got all ownership And God was now the leader of Joshua. And Joshua was the leader of the people. God said now basically it was time for him to go and possess the land. And we know the stories. The first thing, as they went into the promised land that God had carved out for them. They got to a city called Jericho. And we know the city, the walls. Two chariots could ride on top of them. They were so huge, so high, so big. And Joshua had to seek God and to get the knowledge of God and to get the presence of God on how to conquer this city. And God told him what to do. And we know the story. They marched around the city in obedience. And God toppled down the walls. And they were destroyed. But we also know the second city, a little small town called Ai. Well, they said, we can go in. We can do it. And they didn't seek God on how to do it. And because there were things that were in it, in the people, that they had disobeyed. Only one had disobeyed. But God looked at that. And because of that, they went in. And they were almost destroyed. They did not take the city. My God. We have to do everything we can not to rely upon our own strength. They did not pray and they were defeated. But you know what? God always is the God of the second chance. It says this, that when they got it right with God, God sent them back in to take care of business. Even though they didn't defeat it the first time, and God showed Joshua what it was that brought defeat in their lives, and it was sin. Let's put it to the carpet because of somebody. That God said, Joshua, now that it has been revealed, now you have taken care of it, go back in and take the city. And Joshua went back in and destroyed the city on how God said to do it. See, we got to follow and obey the Spirit of the Lord in every circumstance. Just because God told us to do it one way at one time doesn't mean that we do it that way again. We are in nature, as human beings, we are people that do things the same, the same, the same, the same. And that's it. We are creatures of habit. And we think, if God did it this way, this is how He'll do it the next time. And this is how He'll do it the third time. But that's not how God will do it sometimes. He may. But you see, we have to seek God. And Joshua had to seek God on how to conquer these cities and these places and these strongholds that were in the promised land. God promised them the promised land. But God promised them the promised land, but they had to follow the Spirit of the living God in conquering and attaining that promised land. See, we have many things in our hearts. When we got saved, we gave God our hearts. We declared Him Lord and Savior. And He came in and lives in our hearts. But there are many things in us that God has to take out of us. There are many things in us that bring defeat sometimes. But God says, just look to me. And when we look to God and we seek God and God comes in and shows us how to have victory in every part of our lives, God will help us to conquer those things that are in us and eating at us on the inside. God will do it. It says this. In Joshua chapter 9, look at chapter 9. Here Joshua, a man after God's own heart, fooled by people. Here they are in the promised land. They won victory over Jericho. They won victory over Ai. And the word went forth throughout all that land, and people were scared in other cities. And you know what? There was a group of people called the Gibeonites. They lived in Gibeon, which was a city about 15 miles away from where Joshua was at that time camped. They came in and they put on some old sackcloth. They got their bread all moldy. They made sure they got their sandals that were all worn out. They even had the wineskins that would keep their wine, and they got old ones that were all cracked. And they traveled to where Joshua was camped. And they said, "Joshua, we heard about the great things that God is doing on your behalf. But we want to make a pact with you that if you need help, we would help you. And if we need help, you would help us. But we would not destroy one another." And they said, "Look at our bread, how moldy it is. Look at our sandals, how broken they are, and worn out. Look at our wineskins, how cracked they are. Look at our clothes. We come from a far, far away land." And Joshua looked at them and said, "Oh, okay." And instead of Joshua going to the Lord and saying, "Father, what do you want me to do?" Joshua took it upon his own intellect and what he saw and what he thought in his mind, and believed the people that they came from a faraway land. But actually, these people were only 15 miles away, and God had said to conquer them because they were in the promised land. And they made a pact, and they promised to do all that, and they left. And Joshua and them went into battle, and they got up to this city, and they find out that what? This is the city that they made a pact with. And Joshua, it says in the scripture that he was very upset, but yet he learned a lesson. Always go to God first. Always go to God first. You have to understand, the devil will do everything he can. He'll do everything he can to get our eyes off of seeking God and getting God's guidance on certain things, on everything in our lives. And he will try to snare us in every way, people. So, you know, I know you hear it sometimes. Some people say, "Well, you know, you just got to go with what you feel." No, 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 no. You go by what you feel. Our hearts are full of evil. You can never go by our hearts. The Bible says it's totally different from what's in our heart than what man thinks. The Bible says to go to God, to pray, to seek Him, say, "Lord, show me. Show me what to do. Show me what to do." And I tell you what, Joshua learned a lesson. Now they went in there, and they couldn't destroy them like God wanted them to. But they did do something. They made every one of them to be a servant unto them. They made everyone be their water boys, water carriers, and all kinds of stuff. But that's still not what God said from the beginning. To destroy them. To destroy them. And Joshua learned a lesson. And we need to learn a lesson, people, that we have to go to God first. Go to Him. Go to Him. I know sometimes we think we're very intelligent. And yes, you know, God has given us intelligence. Thank you, Lord. God has given us the ability to think and to logically think and to learn. But you know what? When it comes with the spiritual things of our lives, we are down because of the sin nature that's in us. And we need God, who is our commander in chief, to lead us and guide us. So we have to go to Him. Seek Him. Because the devil will try to bring a sly enemy into your camp, into your home, into your life, and bring destruction in any way that he can. He'll try it. He'll do everything he can to finagle things. But I tell you what, when we go to God, it's not us fighting that battle. It's God fighting on our behalf. And let me tell you, the battle has already been won. We have victory already. because of the cross of Calvary. So when we put our faith in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, we are assured victory no matter what upon this earth. It's been done spiritually in the heavens and is manifested here upon the earth when we put our faith in Him and Him alone. Praise God. That God comes out to fight that battle for us and to win victory in every aspect of our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. That will do whatever He can to bring that victory into our hearts and into our lives, that it is manifested. How many Christians we know of, that I know of, just on a personal standpoint, that are entangled in things that are bringing destruction to them. And let me tell you, I'm not doubting their salvation, number one. They're saved. But the devil has such a stronghold. The only thing is Christ that can break that stronghold. That's all. That's all. Victory is ours, saith the Lord. Just as Joshua learned the things of God and how to go to Him first, we have to go to Him first. We have to go to Him first. How many times, let me tell you, I could write probably a book on how many times I've seen God change a situation before me. Not that I'm better than any, no, and I know you can too. You could write a book. I know it. On how God changes things. How something, we knew the devil was coming, and it was, the devil was tempting and trying to bombard our minds and our hearts, the things from the outside, trying to destroy us. Huh? And all of a sudden, we call out to God and we say, Lord, my faith is in You. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in and changes it. And we did nothing different except go to Him. Go to Him. That's the victory in Christ and letting Him fight the battle. Because of obedience to Him, God gave them many victories in the cities. God gave them many victories over cities. Over cities. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 12. Victory. Victory. Don't ever feel bad. You might say, Pastor, I think I've let God down. Well, look, join the boat. Join the gang. Join the church. We've all let God down. We've all let God down. And we're gonna let Him down again some other time. It will happen. But I tell you what, the church has something the world doesn't have. And that's the blood of Jesus. Because I know each and every one of us in here is not going to willfully do things that we know we shouldn't do. Won't willfully do it. But because of the temptation of the enemy and the temptation of us as a human being, things happen. Things happen. But we have a Savior that will work for us, that will help us to conquer and will help us to overcome those things in our hearts and in our lives that the devil has tried to destroy us with. See, a lot of times what God is doing, He's making us stronger in the areas that the devil says we're weak in, and we know we're weak in. But God comes in and changes the situation around, and for some reason, we get strong on the inside. And that's because of the Spirit of the living God. The Scripture says it, when you're weak, you know, that's when you're really strong. And when you're strong, that's when you're really weak. That's just the Scripture. And that's God. When we're seems like we're weak and we can't go on, it seems like that's when we are the strongest. You know why? Because we see the power of God like we've never seen before. We've seen the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the arm of God, the presence of God, the strength of God like never before. You know, when we need a dollar and there's no dollar, and God comes in and somebody gives you a dollar, or a job comes around and God supplies that dollar for you, man, you look at God and say, Father, thank you. You are, when I was weak and I couldn't go on, Lord, you were strong unto me. Strong unto me. The strong arm of God was given and stretched forth, and He gave what we needed and far beyond. In Joshua chapter 12, the latter part of the verses, we see God moving in a way that probably Joshua maybe just dreamed of. Joshua had taken Jericho. God had given him the Gideonites, the Ai, the cities. But God had spoken to Joshua and He said, I want you to take the promised land. Take the promised land. Look at verse 7. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on the side Jordan on the west, and Baal-gad, the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak, and goes up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. Verse 8. In the mountains and in the valleys, and in the plains and in the springs, and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites conquered. Now look at this. Honestly, when I get to some of this stuff that I'm going to read you, that's like, I could care less who begat who. I could care less who begat this one. You know, it's like you're going, okay, Lord, why you put this in? You know, it's like, we're trying to pronounce these names. We can't pronounce them. We don't know if we say it right or we doesn't care, you know. So we look down and we go to another chapter. But to God, there's always a reason, because you see, God puts all those begats in there so people would know what the lineage of Jesus is. We got to know it. And God put, and we're going to read it, these cities, these kings that were conquered by Joshua. Sometimes we think, well, when it's something this small and we conquer it, it's nothing. But to God, when something's this big and we conquer it, it's big to Him. When something's this big and we conquer it, it's big to Him. He doesn't look at one thing and say, well, that's okay and that's okay. But every victory is a victory with Him. And with Joshua, as he started to go forth and God would give him the knowledge on how to conquer these people, that God would tell him, well, I want you to take X amount of men. It was different all the time. X amount of men, go forth and go unto them and wait for them and ambush them when they come out of their city. I mean, it was God that would show him what to do. You see, we've come to a place where the church says, well, I don't need God. I just want God to make sure I have fire insurance, that I don't go to hell. But while I'm here, Lord, leave me alone. But God's saying, uh-uh, I want all of you or none of you. God wants us sold out to the things of God, that we seek Him with everything within us, that we look to Him and say, Father, show me things, that we look to Him, that, Lord, you see what's going on with my son or my daughter. Lord, you see what's going on with my spouse. You see what's going on with my grandchildren. And God will show you how to pray for them. Just because you pray one way for certain people doesn't mean God wants you to pray that way for somebody else. We get in this pattern of where everything's the same. And with God, it's not. With Joshua, when he went into those cities and he would conquer those cities, God would give him different things to do to conquer them. And let me tell you, every time he obeyed God, there was victory. Every time we seek the face of God and we ask God to show us what to do, how to do it, and how to win these people for the kingdom of God, as He shows us and we obey it, we are assured victory. We're not just guaranteed 10% victory or 50% victory or 75% victory, but we are assured victory 100% of the time. Every time. Look at this. Verse 9. The king of Jericho won. You should shout, there's a victory. The king of Ai, which is besides Bethel, won. You know that means they conquered the city and killed the king. That's two victories. The king of Jerusalem won. This may not look right, but that's okay. You remember how President Bush, after 9/11, President Bush on his desk, they showed it. He had this paper type thing on his desk in the Oval Office. And he had a picture of all these guys that did that to our country. And it went all the way down. I don't know how many there were. And every time one was killed, he'd put an X over their face. Joshua with victory. He put an X over Jericho. One down. Another one down. Victory. The king of Ai, the king of Jerusalem, won. The king of Hebron, won. Can you imagine the faith that was building in the people? Can you imagine the faith that was building in the people? Can you imagine the faith that was building in Joshua? Because they knew he was their leader. But they knew that his leader was their God, the God of Israel. And as God would speak to Joshua, Joshua would go before the people and he'd say, look, we need to send X amount of people. Do it this way to conquer that city. To conquer it. To conquer that stronghold that is there. Verse 11, the king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Elgon won. The king of Gezer won. Faith building. Faith rising up. The king of Debor won. The king of Gedor won. The king of Harmath won. The king of Arad won. The king of Lipnet won. The king of Abelam won. The king of Mekedesh won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tapish won. The king of Hepor won. The king of Apoth won. The king of Lamor won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shimron, Miron won. The king of Ashlaf won. The king of Tanish won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jokneam of Carmel won. The king of Dor, the coast of Dor, won. The king of the nations of Gilgal won. The king of Tarzah won. And the king, and there were 31. Now look, victory. Victory 1, victory 2, victory 3, victory 4, victory 5, victory 6, victory 7, victory 8, victory 9, victory 10, obedience to God. In what he said. Victory 11, victory 12, victory 13, victory 14, victory 15, victory 16, victory 17, victory 18, victory 19, victory 20, obedience to God in what he said to do. Victory 21, victory 22, victory 23, victory 24, victory 25, victory 26, victory 27, victory 28, victory 29, victory 30, obedience and following how God said to do it, and victory 31. Let me tell you, there were 31 victories. You know why? Because they obeyed what God said to do, and they did it, and they were for certain given victory over their enemies. Because God promised them the promised land. And when they went in and they would follow the things that God told them to do, victory was certain for them. Victory was certain for them. We need to get excited. Joshua gave us a pattern. Joshua gave us a pattern according to what God told him to do. When we do what God says, we are assured victory in that scenario and in that thing. Not just maybe so, but it's certain, people. 100% of the time. 31 kings. Then it says he was over 100 years old and he couldn't go on anymore. But there were still many more to conquer. But 31. Only one time was he defeated. And it was only one time that we know of that he didn't seek God about a certain place, certain town. Well, Pastor, how is that relevant to us? Well, the Scripture talks about us following God. And God wants us to have victory in every part of our lives also. In Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23 is a very passionate scripture. It says this, and he said to them all. Now you might say, well, who was he talking to? Well, we can go back in verse 1 of that chapter, verse 10, and I think verse 18 of that same chapter. And you can see he was talking to his disciples. His disciples. So he said unto them, and which he's speaking unto us also, if any man will come after me. Now when he says man, he's talking about mankind. Talking about women, children, boys, girls. If any man will come after me. Talking about God. If any man will come after me. Now you might say, well, Pastor, how do you know if you're going after God? Put your sights on Him. Just put your sights on Him. Saying, Father, you said in your word, if any man come after me. Talking about God. If any man. That means we gotta decide on it. It's my decision. When I wake up tomorrow morning, it is my decision if I want to seek Him or not. When you wake up this morning, tomorrow morning, or even tonight, you know, whatever, it is your decision if you want to follow God or not. If you get up from church today and say, this is the last church service I'll ever be in because I'm never coming back and I will not serve God anymore. That would be your own personal choice. Now, that doesn't mean the Spirit of God wouldn't work because we'd be praying for you. Asking God to move. Because I know the Spirit of God can move. But it says, if any man will come after me, that means we need to charge after God. We need to pursue Him with everything within Him, within us. Pursuing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pursuing God. Joshua was a man that pursued God, and God met him and did things in his heart and life that changed his life, and God used him to bring victory to the people of Israel, or the Jewish people, if you want to say it that way. God moved in his heart. We think this sometimes. Well, I'll sit here, God. If you want something, do it. Let me sit right here. Miss Anna can see. No, that's okay. I don't want you to separate. No, okay. We think, Lord, I'm going to sit here. If you want to do something in me, do it. And we just sit. Well, you'll just sit and you'll sit. And you'll sit to the end of time. And nothing will happen. But it says, if any man will come after me, that means pursuing him. That means coming from to Lord. Oh, Jesus. Father, I seek your face. Holy Spirit, do a mighty work in my heart and life. Father, I just praise you and honor you, Lord. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The mighty God starts to move. The mighty God starts. That doesn't mean you have to get on your knees. I like to get on my knees. That's just me. But God looks at the hearts of the people. when you call upon Him. It says, when you call upon me, I will what? Answer you. And what? Show you great and what? Mighty things. Mighty things. So here we see a God that is moving. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The Father says this to us, that we are to not deny ourselves. And I know the first thing we think of, and it's not what that means. God's not saying deny yourself a bowl of ice cream. Now, we might have to. We should, probably. You know, we don't know how to stop at one. We eat the whole half gallon of Bluebell ice cream. The pecan praline one. I mean, you know, we just keep on going. You know, it's like, oh, man. Didn't we just take the whole thing out and just eat out of it? Because nothing's going to be left. It doesn't mean denying yourself of the things of this world in pursuit of God. But it means to deny ourselves of our own self-will. To deny ourselves of our own power. That, Father, I can do this. Joshua couldn't do it. He needed God to go before him and show him what to do. And then God empowered him to do it. But he couldn't do it out of his own strength. Denying self of your own power, your own self-will, your own strength, and your own ability. My God. Saying, Father, I can't do it. And Lord, I rely upon you. Denying yourself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross, which means looking at Christ and what Christ did at Calvary's cross. Look into him. Doesn't mean a cross to bear. That doesn't make sense in Scripture. You know how people say, well, I have a cross to bear. A cross to bear. Honestly, you know what they're saying? They're putting themselves on the same level as Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And let me tell you, no one can do that. Well, I'm carrying my cross. No, your cross is not your arthritis. Your cross is not your kids that are going crazy. That's not the cross. That's not it. Take up the cross. That means look into the cross for your strength. What Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And he says to do that what? Daily. Daily. I know personally myself, as in the morning, I'll just look and say, Lord, I put my faith in you. And no one else. No one else. My faith is exclusively in Christ and what you did at Calvary's cross, Lord. And Lord, I'm expecting great and mighty things today, Lord, in what you want to do. We must renew our faith in what Christ has done for us on a daily basis. Because Satan will try to move us away from Christ and what he did onto any and every other thing. And we're to follow him. Follow him. Number one, condition for victory. And I'm ending right here. You know, it's only 11:15. You're saying, Pastor, my stomach is not saying that. No, I'm about to end, people. Conditions for victory. Number one, surrender, full surrender to Christ as Lord. Just fully surrender to Him. We must accept Christ as our captain, that He is our leader. We must submit to His plan for our personal lives, for the church. And we must fully obey. We may get direction from God, but we have to fully obey Him, people, in every aspect. When God told Joshua, you get in there and you kill every man, woman, child, everything. And I know we look at that today and go, oh, Lord. You know. And the reason he did that was because of their idolatry and their sin and the deceitfulness in that area. And he didn't want them to intermarry with these people and would bring them destruction and bring their eyes away from Christ and what Christ had done for them. And so we can have victory, people, just as Joshua obeyed. Keep the on thought of looking. Father, help me to obey. Give me your plan and help me to obey. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. And Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. And Father, we thank you for your word that went forth, that you would plant it deep within our hearts, Lord God. Father, that we would obey you at whatever cost, Lord. Help us to be a people that will seek you, that will honor you, and that will love you with everything within us. And Father, I pray your protection upon each and every one of these people, their families, their lives. And Father, I pray that you would supply for their families. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you praise and honor and thanks. And Lord, we want to thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and in our lives, individually. And Father, I want to thank you for what you've done in our church, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We give you thanks for all that you have done. We give you praise and honor and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and love you. And I pray you have a great week. Amen. God bless you.